met before. My name's James, and you've just got to, if you don't know me, hi, but just, you need to give me a couple minutes to do family stuff just before I preach, because for me, this is like a family reunion for me. I just love this. Firstly, thank you, Pastor Phil. That was really, I don't know where you went. There you were. That was so honoring. And you know, Pastor Phil supported us when we went back to the Philippines. When I was a child, his support fed me as a child and gave me shoes when I was four. I was 4 years old when I got my first pair of shoes because of your church. And so that's a lie. Guys, that's a lie. Why, y'all? You're like, oh my God, really? Oh, we need to support our missionaries more. Yes, you do. Support your missionaries more. You jerk, sending them used tea bags. What is this? Papua New Guinea, 1962? Come on. Give them cash. But thank you. You supported us, and I really want to honor you for that, because I asked a lot of people in this room to support us, and they didn't, but you did. And I remember. I don't want to make eye contact with people in this room, but y'all missed out on the blessing. You didn't, thank God. Okay, listen. I moved to Perth, Western Australia 16 years ago this January, and it changed my life. Me and my beautiful wife, we were married 4 months, and we thought we were coming here for a year, and it ended up being 7, and it radically impacted us. We were part of a beautiful church here, Kingdom City, for a few years, and got to play a little part in the state, ran Youth Alive for a couple years, it's so nice. Sarah Mez up here leading worship is just took me back. I love you, Sarah and John. Dan Shake and Bake is running Youth Alive now. Whoever thought that would have happened? That's amazing. That's incredible. He's like 48 and he's running Youth Alive. It's awesome. And killing it and doing a great job. And so it's just wonderful. 16 years ago in January, and there's so many other beautiful people in this room. I love you. Everyone. I don't want to start because then I'll miss people and they'll be like, oh, he doesn't love me. I do love you. There's not enough time to get through it. 16 years ago in January, I went to a conference called the Shift Conference, where Bill Johnson spoke, and it was at PCLC, and lovely to have you here as well, Sally, tonight. We honor you. I met two couples that have had a massive impact on my life. One was Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee, who were in their church tonight. Can we honor Nations Church, and can we honor Pastor Ken and Chrissy? You know how much I love you. But as well, it was Joel and Sharon. And let's face it, this week is about Joel and Sharon. This is... If you came for a God word, place it aside. We met 16 years ago, and I just want to say this. I want to honor you both. Yeah, everyone said everything nice about you, and I agree. And what I love about you is you're so genuine, your heart. You have become, 16 years ago, you were kind to me. And I remember stuff. Like, pastors' kids, we remember. We remember who likes us for us or who liked us for our parents. And when we met you guys, you liked us for us, and that really meant a lot. And you both have become an older brother and sister to Kate and I. Kate adores you, Sharon, and Joel, we just love you. Thank you for just being so real. I think you display authenticity at just the most beautiful. I love seeing all the people that you've released into ministry as well. Has come. What a beautiful reflection of your leadership. The type of leaders that you have released is a wonderful reflection on you. And so thank you for leading this state well. I was there many years ago when you were anointed the year before. You should have been anointed, but we were there. I've got it on video. I looked at it on my Google Drive today. I still have it. Then I was there when we voted you in at the Peel Thunder Stadium. Not sure why we did a conference at the Peel Thunder Stadium, but it was a great view. And you have led through war times. There were some tough times. There were some lies and there was some spin. And there were some tough things that went on. But you guys have held your head high. You've had incredible integrity. And I just want to say, I've just met this weekend the lovely Madam President, Christy, and her incredibly good-looking husband, Ewan. Where did you come from? Are you kidding me? Just stepped off a GQ magazine. I'm here, but in my spare time, I fix animals because I'm an orthopedic veterinarian surgeon. And I look this good as well. I want to honor you guys. I don't really know you well, but you are amazing. And I just want to say this. You're stepping into a season of fruitfulness. You guys have the Solomon season coming because David fought some battles for you. And I know you know that, but I love you very much. Thank you for the honor of inviting me to preach at your going away party. And it's good. Okay, are we good? All right, can you add 5 minutes back on the clock? That was a family moment. I had to do it. And it's so nice to be back in Perth and be in Western Australia. We love this place, and my wife sends her love and greeting. Is Pastor Sue Kean still here? Did she pass? Oh, shit. Pastor Sue, wherever you are, firstly, wow. Wasn't today. If you weren't here today, you missed out. Y'all coming just for the night session, whatever. Pastor Sue was phenomenal today. It was amazing. And Pastor Sue, I just want to say this. My wife told me I had to say this, that from her, she wanted me to say to you publicly, thank you for always being so kind to her and so loving to her and giving her hugs and just in your little British accent, hello, sweetie. Well, I don't think that's what you sound like. Hello, love, we're from London. Right, I don't, that's all I got. And I want to say thank you so much. And you've raised your two boys. I know you got three, but you got two here tonight. You guys are fine young men, and you're a great representation of your mom and dad. And so we love you, Pastor Sue. And it's great. I got to preach. Sorry. And the other preacher, that he's not here tonight, so I'll honor him tomorrow night. But whatever. That's fine. Miss me preaching. That's good. Okay. All right. So here's the thing. What I'm about to preach to you, I've been writing this sermon in my head for 3 years, and I just finished it this morning. So I don't know how this is going to go, but I feel like God's going to do something good. I think that one of the hardest things for us pastors to do is to act like Christians. Some of us are like boats. We look good on top, but we got a lot of barnacles underneath. And the barnacles have grown on us through years of hurt, pain, disappointment, just annoying people. And it can affect the way we lead sometimes, obviously, but the worst thing is when it affects us subtly. Okay, here's my opinion. I want to humbly say this. I know this is just my opinion. So I became a youth pastor 21 years ago. In 2003 in Brisbane, Australia, me and my older sister, we came back to God together, and my parents had just taken over this little church, and so there was four kids in the youth group, and in order to stay at our house rent-free, we had to help out in the youth, and thus started my ministry. What a call of God, huh? Free rent. Free rent will get you in the ministry all day long, right? And so I began to lead in the ministry 21 years ago. And I would say that for the majority of my adult ministry life, there was a certain style of leadership that wasn't just tolerated in the Australian church, but dare I say it was celebrated. And it was a strong, heavy-handed, visionary, win at all costs, the ends justify the means type of leadership. And unfortunately, for so long, the ends seem to have justified the means, no matter how dysfunctional it was, until people stopped justifying it. And in the last few years, I've seen by the grace of God, and we should all give thanks to him, that there's actually been a swing away from that. That has refreshed my soul. I don't know about yours, but it's refreshed my soul. And tonight I want to talk about one of the keys to leadership that might not have been celebrated for the last couple decades because it was maybe wrongly labeled as being weak, but I think it's vital for us if we want to be healthy leaders, lead healthy teams, and ultimately, could I just say, be healthy Christians that love Jesus. Tonight I want to simply talk to you about kindness. The forgotten fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so you got to understand about me. So some of y'all know me. Some of you don't know me, but some of y'all know me. And you know, like, I am, my flesh is my flesh. Just like your flesh. I'm in me, I'm sarcastic, right? Anybody else sarcastic? I've got that Australian dishonor in me, you know. Just that Australian, you know how dishonoring we are as a nation? We don't even call our prime minister by their name. ScoMo. Albo. Can I Albo? Right? We're just, and so my flesh, I'm dishonoring. I'm mean. Is there anybody else that's mean in their flesh? Is there anyone? Okay, so here's the thing. As I'm preaching to you tonight about this, you need to understand something. This has rocked my world for the last 9 years. 9 years ago, I moved to the Philippines this month. I left beautiful Perth, and I moved to the Philippines with my wife. We had a little one-year-old baby, and my wife was 9 weeks pregnant, and we didn't know until we got to the Philippines. And we started our church with five people in the room, and God has rocked my world the last 9 years to get me to this point where I could actually preach this message. And I want to say to you tonight that as I preach it, I don't preach it from great authority. I preach it from I'm in the middle of walking this journey, and I need help, and I think a lot of you need help as well. And it's wonderful because Paul writes this leadership letter essentially to his little protege Timothy, and it's just this beautiful little verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24. Says this, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach, and be patient with difficult people. In the ESV version, it's a lot harsher. It says you must endure evil. Can we just be real for a second? Sometimes it's really hard to be kind, isn't it? Come on, be real. This is a pastor's conference, right? It's hard to be kind. Some people hurt us. Some people frustrate us. People make mistakes, and so our kindness gets tested. And I want you to think for a moment, what are the moments, what causes me to be unkind? Now, if you've got an anger problem, that's something else. You got to go see someone, get some help. But I want to tell you the revelation that I had once that really rocked me. Our church, we were doing a little bit better, and we were growing a little bit. We'd gone into a mall, and we leased out this venue in this mall, and we started to grow. And it had gotten to the point where I actually enjoyed going to church. Come on, church planners. You remember when you planned your church and you're like, if I wasn't being paid to be here right now, and I'm not being paid much to be here right now, I don't want to be here. Does anyone remember that? Come on, church planning. It's tough, right? Some of y'all can't put your hands up because the people you plan a church with are with you right now. So our church had gotten to the point where I was enjoying going, and we had a guest preacher come, and the guest preacher was really nice. No pressure. It was really nice. But this guest preacher came, and our church was kind of going somewhere, and they came, and the day they came, I got really weird. And we didn't have a lot of guest preachers in the Philippines because it's like it's hard for guest preachers to come through and people from Australia. It was just people that were flying through. And so we didn't really have a lot of guest preachers. And so this is probably the first guest preacher where our church was kind of a little bit bigger. And I remember I started getting really weird and agitated on this day. I started looking, well, why are the chairs set up? And I started being just really not nice to my team. I'm annoyed because all of a sudden the projector's like 2 centimeters outside of the frame around it. I'm annoyed because the backing vocal's not hitting that third harmony. What is this, amateur hour? Come on, get that harmony or get off the stage, right? And I started getting really agitated in that day. And you ever have those moments when the Holy Spirit just comes and just smacks you in the middle of you being a jerk? And it's like I'm sitting there, I'm getting agitated, and then all of a sudden I'm going, why am I so agitated? I wasn't agitated last week, but I'm annoyed today. I was nice last week, but now I'm treating my team like they're all making mistakes and they're there to serve, and I'm like, you know when you wake up after a long night and you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, oh my God, right? You catch yourself in the mirror and you think, I am ugly. I had this moment on this day where I caught myself in the mirror and I looked at myself spiritually and I went, you are ugly. And the reason why was because I wanted to impress the guest preacher. Because I was insecure that he was going to see the projector 2 centimeters out. He was going to hear that lack of a third harmony. And he was going to go back to Australia and spread it amongst the churches. Don't bother with that favorite church in Manila. They don't even know how to put out chairs properly. And I joke, but it wasn't a joke. When you get confronted with the fact that your insecurity is bubbling up, and it's making you treat people in a mean way because of my insecurity, which is because of my pride. And I had this revelation in that day of, it was my pride of caring so much about what this person, I mean, the stupid thing about it was, I cared more about what one person thought than the hundreds of my own parishioners that were in the room. But it was my pride and my insecurity that caused me to actually treat my team very unkindly. I went on a journey realizing that a lot of my own issues surrounding how I treated people were attached to my insecurity. You know, there's a lot of... Father? It is I, your servant James. So I think there's a lot of broken people in our churches, but you know what? There's actually a lot of broken pastors as well. We all got issues, man. And it convicted me to really look at myself, look how I treated people around me, and I wrestled with this. And as I began to wrestle with this, God began to convict me and show me the things in my leadership that I needed to change so I could be, oh, like that Timothy. Yeah, I can do that. I can be kind. And I love Jesus because Jesus gave us so many incredible examples on how to be a kind leader. He talked about it. He displayed it all throughout his leadership journey. So I want to give you a few thoughts tonight on what kindness is, how Jesus showed it, and how we can outwork it in our lives. Amen. And then we're going to pray for all the mean people in our world. Number one is this: kindness is consistency. Jesus was so consistent in his behavior. He was consistent in showing compassion to the sick. He was consistent in his prayer life. He was consistent in staying on mission and point. He was consistent in finding time to hang out with people, and he was consistent in his moods. Can I give you a little secret? Being consistent in your emotions and in your behaviors is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to everybody in your world. One comment I strive to make sure nobody in my world can say, salvation wasn't hanging on me performing a perfect service in church. You know that God is bigger than our services? Are we so arrogant sometimes to think that a little mistake in our service will outweigh the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in people's lives? And I used to struggle with this. I remember one time I was leading worship up in a little church in Wangara. And so I'm up there, and I'm leading worship, and there was a new guy on staff, and he was going to come up and pray out of worship. And so I was a worship pastor, me and my wife were leading worship. I said to him, listen, hey, when you come up, because it's kind of like first time as well, or I'd been there a little bit, but, you know, he's still new in the game. And so I'm like, listen, this is what we're going to do. I've designed worship today that we're going to sing these songs, and then it's going to feel like worship's over, but then we're going to come up with this crescendo, and as we do this crescendo at the end, we will basically touch the throne room of heaven. The throne room of heaven will be touched today by the entire church, right? But make sure that you don't come up. I would have said this about seven times, because this guy's like, you know when you're new on the microphone on stage and you're like so excited, you're like a little attack dog, like, God's good, amen, yeah, right? And so, well, y'all know who I'm talking about, right? Not Pastor Cody tonight. That was the most chilled offering. Hey, y'all, God's good. That what? Y'all need to give. I wanted to give just to hear you talk more. Also, I want tattoos. So, Scott, I'm leading worship, right? And I'm leading, and we come down, and I'm in the moment, and it's like I've designed this whole thing. It's all a thing. And then all of a sudden, I hear him from the side come up. He's like, well, you know, God, like that. And I open my eyes. I cannot describe to you how angry I was in God's presence at that moment. I was so angry, I grabbed the mic stand because I had an acoustic guitar because that's what we did. I grabbed the mic, I picked it up, and I walked, put it down. I am like puffing my cheeks on stage. In my head, I'm like, congratulations. Lepers aren't getting healed today. You just ruined it. Sinners, just walk out of the room now. You ain't encountering Jesus, right? And I was so angry. Can I tell you? You think I'm exaggerating that story? There are eyewitnesses. Some of them might even be in this room tonight. Can I tell you how actually embarrassed I am of myself for that response? How arrogant of me to think, I mean, one mistake or, okay, we'd planned it, but it didn't go well, but me thinking that everything was ruined. Why? Because I was so just looking at this, and I didn't have perspective. You know, one of the greatest lessons I've learned as a senior pastor, I've learned to not care as much about some things. Don't get me wrong. It's not like a farm at my church and there's animals running around everywhere. I don't care anymore. God's good. It's not that. But I've just learned that if someone gets up a little bit too early, maybe God's not angry. Maybe your people might still love Jesus and encounter God. You just got to get perspective, and kindness has perspective. Perspective realizes, hey, for you church planners, let me give you a lesson. Perspective realizes that I have time to change the world, and I don't need to do it in a year. Do you know how many church planners I've seen, even peers at my level, that have started gung-ho, we're going to be this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to change the world, And I just sit there and I look and I go, why are you putting so much pressure on yourself? You got 40 years ahead. If you think you got to change the world, even in the next 5 years, you're going to cut corners and you're going to do things to keep up to the vision that you have. Have perspective. It's okay if you're struggling right now and you just started a church plant. Can I tell you, have perspective. It is tough. It's hard. But keep showing up every week. Have perspective. That's actually being kind to your people that you have. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Next thing is this. Kindness is clarity. Jesus was very clear. You want to be my disciples? This is how you're going to have to act. You want to be known as my disciples? This is how you have to act. If you're going to listen to me and not obey me, this is what's going to happen to you. Your house is going to fall over when the storm hits. But if you listen to me and obey me, then your house is going to stay through the storm. So kindness actually pulls clarity from us, particularly with the teams that we lead. Oh, there's vagueness kills me, right? And I get it. Sometimes the spirit moves. Oh, where's the spirit going? Oh, we'll go with the spirit. But our people actually need a bit of clarity. In our staff, we have this little phrase called an agreed upon level of excellence that we have. So we have this agreed upon level of excellence where if we want to achieve something, we sit around as a team and we do it. And it takes longer. Yes, the more people involved, the longer anything takes with more people. But the more they're involved, the more they own it. And so we have an agreed level of excellence. And it's not me going, I want this done. And they're going, yes, Pastor. No, because they're not yes men. I want to actually raise up people that are independent thinkers that can actually do something great without me in the room. And so we have this agreed upon level of excellence. And we're clear about what it is. So when we don't hit it, I don't even need to come and discipline or correct or why didn't we hit it? They know they didn't hit it. And in our staff, they quickly come and apologize about it. But we want to be clear about what we want. I don't want them to be disappointed in something because I'm disappointed. I want them to be disappointed in something because we had a clear level of expectation. There was clarity in it, and we didn't hit what we wanted to hit. We got to be clear with things. Hot topic, LGBTQ+. Right? Is this being recorded? What's this? Before I get... It depends how hot I'm about to go on this topic. I don't want to become a meme. Are we putting this on the internet? Like, how far do we need to go here? I don't know. Is this Victorian rules? I don't understand it, right? Like, I just... I've been out of the country so long, man. I don't know. Okay, let's talk about LGBTQ. Can I tell you that one of the issues with the church, and if your church is like this, I'm not having to go, but let me give you some wisdom. One of the worst things that we can be with people that are walking an LGBTQ lifestyle is to actually not be honest with them up front. This is how we do it. Come as you are. Everyone's loved and accepted in our church. Just come as you are, right? And so, of course, we all believe that, right? But you know what's happened a lot of times is that people that are walking that lifestyle come and they go, we just accept you for who you are. But here's the deal. Acceptance and agreement are two different things. I can accept you but not agree with you. But a lot of people don't just want acceptance. They want agreement. And so what happens is they get involved in community. They love community. They love, oh my God, I love community. Hey, can I worship lead? And then we have to have the uncomfortable conversation. Oh, listen, we love you, and we're so glad you came as you are, but actually we have all these rules, and we have guidelines that we didn't want to tell you at the beginning because we wanted to be kind and not put you off, but now we're going to have this awkward conversation, and you're probably going to get more angry now. You hear what I'm saying? So we have something at our church called just a new people night where we have a dinner. People come, they hear the story of our church and we tell them our values. And then we do a Q&A. Every time we do, in the Philippines, homosexuality, my church is full of homosexuals. It's awesome. I love it. Then we got transgender, we got homosexuals, we got bis, we got tris, we got quads, we got everything, right? And everyone is there. But the first question we always answer in our Q&A, every time, we have multiple questions that always come in, and it's always about the one thing, what's your church's stance on LGBTQ? So you know what we decided to do? We decided that kindness was actually giving clarity and not trying to catfish people. Well, yeah, people get nervous. We just love people, and we just want them to come. No, so I just say, hey, we love everyone. Everyone's accepted. Everyone can come. But we believe the Bible is pretty clear about living an active LGBTQ lifestyle, an active unrepentant LGBTQ lifestyle. And so if you're living in that way, then you probably can't serve and you won't be involved in leadership. But then I go on to say about how the church used to just, in the past, we didn't know how to deal with it and we treated people really wrongly and we were really mean about it. But in our church, we give people a space to wrestle with God, do I believe what they're saying the Bible says or do I believe my own thing? And in this church, what I guarantee you is that you will have freedom and a space to wrestle with God and we'll wrestle with you, we'll be in there with you, but this is where we stand. Can I tell you the amount of LGBTQ that are in our church that are thankful that we're so upfront about it? Have we had people not come to our church? Yes. Has that broken my heart? Yes. But I would rather deal with it at the front door then catfish them, and then a couple years later, it blows up more than what we're going to get crap anyway. Listen, news alert, this is, Australian church, welcome to your persecution. This is our persecution in the Western church, is this whole area. Welcome to it. Stop hiding from it. It's coming. Why don't you thank God you don't have a gun being held to your head like some of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East? This is our persecution. So don't, oh man, they're saying mean things about me. Yeah, better than a gun to our head. So what some people will call mean, I actually call kindness. Because being clear actually is kindness. Come on, someone say amen to that. Are we okay? Everyone okay? Wonderful. I'm going to take a drink. Kindness is humility. Jesus was humble. Oh, he took time to heal people. Jesus was humble as he washed the feet of the disciples. Paul says in Philippians that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know what I found about people when they follow a leader? They generally follow in two camps. They either follow out of respect or they follow out of fear. I'll give you a spoiler. people will last much longer and be much better if they follow you out of respect and not fear. I remember years ago, I watched this American preacher, and he was doing this leadership thing, and he was going through, and I was living in Perth at the time, and he did all these points on leadership, and like point number three was, your staff should have a healthy amount of fear of you as the leader, right? No. I heard that. I'm like, yeah. This is awesome, right? I ran into Mark Varughese's office. I said, Mark, you got to watch this. This is going to shape your ministry, right? This is incredible. This is amazing. And Mark kind of watched it, and he kind of looked at me, and I said, this is good. People need to have a healthy fear. And I remember Mark going, I don't think this is it, James. In my immaturity, I thought, oh, yeah, this is kind of cool, right? Because if they fear you a little bit, then they'll do what you say. But I've realized the older I've gotten, I don't want that. Your pastor is not your God. You don't need to fear them with reverence. You want to respect. You know, the only fear I want is what the great Michael Scott said. He said, would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me. Hey, humility, it doesn't abuse your title or position. What does Paul tell us in Philippians 2? He says that Jesus didn't count equality with God as something to be grasped, but what? He emptied himself out in the form of a servant. If Jesus can do that, then I can do that. You know what humility does? It encourages us to apologize quickly. Can I just say this? You need to have a culture in your church of quick apologies. You know it's a phenomenal culture to build in your church that is only built in a culture of respect? Is this, no fear of failure. A lot of people ask us, you know, you did stuff in your church. Have you done things? You've done things fast and everything like that, especially during COVID. COVID was mental, right? Perth, yeah, you guys had it pretty easy over here. In the Philippines, my kids weren't allowed out of the house for 20 months, right? And so during COVID in the Philippines, we had to pivot. We had to try new things every single week. And do you know why it works so well in our church? Because we have a culture of expectation of failing forward, right? I think it's a Craig Groeschel principle, to fail forward. In our church, failure is not disciplined. If we fail, we learn from it, and we do something better next time. And so the best thing that we can do is actually apologize quickly. Can I just encourage us senior pastors in the room for a second? You want your people to come and apologize to you when they've done something wrong and have a heart of humility, or you better lead by example. If you say something and it doesn't work, can I just give you a little encouragement? Just stick your hand up and own it. Do you know how many times I've apologized to my team? All the time. I say stupid things all the time. I'm going to have to apologize to about 7 people after this sermon, right? I apologize very, very quickly. I'm like, my bad. I own it. My mistake, my team, yeah, they clap, right? But you know what's beautiful about it? How quickly my team run and apologize when something happens. And when they apologize, it's like, that's it, done, let's move on, let's grow, and let's do something better about this. There'll be some mistakes, but the benefits will be amazing. You know what else kindness is? Kindness is taking the high road. Jesus is being ridiculed, he's being mocked, he kept his mouth shut, and he took the high road, man. If that was me, I want to fight back. Come on. Anybody else want to fight back? Oh, my flesh wants to fight back. A few years ago, I was actually in Perth preaching. And one of our young guys started calling me from the Philippines. And he's an actor in the Philippines. Something had happened with this person that he's involved in. And it blew up on Twitter. And it was going insane on Twitter. And so he's calling me. He's like, Pastor James, what do I do? All these lies are going on Twitter. It's trending all over the country. It's on the front page of the new page. It's just stupid, right? And, you know, me being just the pastor, I knew I was the pastor, Pastor Joel, in that moment. I'm like, come to me, Padawan, I will guide you. So, you know, because I'm so good with the celebrity world, because I know what's going on, right? And so I'm like, listen, you just need to chill. Who cares? It's Twitter. They're faceless trolls. Just let it go. Who cares? He's like, really, Pastor James? I'm like, just let these guys, they don't let them steal any of your joy. Just get rid of it. They're fine. And I prayed with them on the phone. It was great.
A year and a half later, I think COVID hits, and we didn't even have a podcast before COVID. Within 3 days, we had to go church online. And then we started doing church online like many of us did, and we started doing it. Well, the first day I got a troll. Someone got on there and started having to go, this guy, this is just an emotionally driven church. And I saw, I'm like, well, I'm going to find you and your wife. You better hide your kids if you're out here. I was so angry. All I wanted to do was fight back. I wrote about 17 different replies. Well, emotionally driven. I was so angry. But thank God I didn't say anything. But it really affected me. It really challenged me. Last year, our church, what are we? We're 8 years. We just celebrated our 8th birthday. So about 6.5 years, I know this is crazy what I'm about to say. It took 6.5 years for us to have our first major people problem. Like, really. Isn't that amazing? God's good. Until it happens, then it sucks. And so, so we have our first major people problem. And it's like, I had a board member who it was less about him being a board member. He was just a really close friend. Oh, I'm gonna touch some people's hearts right now. Because you know what I'm talking about. And then we had another really influential leadership couple that were friends. Doesn't it always suck when they're friends? That's hard. You know that you can actually be friends with the people you lead as well. Don't believe the lie that you can't be friends with the people you lead. Don't become an island. You may get hurt a couple times, but it's okay. Stay in the race. Get perspective. So we have our first issue. These guys like get together and they go nuts. They start accusing my executive pastor, one of them, of being a Jezebel spirit. Accused me of having an Ahab spirit. I'm like, what? I didn't know if that was a compliment or not. Like, am I so releasing that you think other people are controlling me or what? Accuse my wife of having this wicked spirit over her, right? It was really nasty. They ended up leaving and taking, not many people, but took enough people that people noticed and people started staying stuff. And I felt the Lord speak to me so strongly because everything within me, come on now, you know what I'm saying? Everything within me just wanted to get up in the church and call them out. You wicked and evil troublemakers, right? Right? You want to call sin out, kick him out of the church, right? But everything within me want to do it, but I actually felt the Holy Spirit convict me so much and said, shut your mouth and shut your entire team's mouth. And I sat with our staff, and this was the first, many of our staff, because 98% of my staff have never worked in church before. We got 36 staff members full-time right now. And 98, so this was the first time that someone so close within church. This was the first, y'all remember your first time when someone hurt you in church, right? This was their first time. And so I had to talk to them. I sat them down. And I said, listen, this is what I feel the Holy Spirit's put in my heart. Everyone shuts their mouth. We don't say anything. They're going to talk smack. Let them talk smack. They make lies. Let them make lies. But we will stop. And I actually felt the Lord, I don't know, this doesn't sound spiritual, but I felt the Lord put it on my heart, if you let the fool talk enough, they'll talk himself off the cliff. And so we just said, can I tell you that they probably took maybe 15 people out of the church. They all went to these different things and all this crap. Out of those 15 people that left, 11 of them have come back into our church crying, apologizing, humbling themselves. And we haven't been, well, look at us. We were right. No, we just said, hey, we understand. We know how it's tough. And we kept our mouth shut. And what do? Kindness, it takes the higher road. I think this is one of the hardest ones that we can do. And you're going to be challenged with this every year in your church. But kindness takes the high road. Kindness is releasing of people. We have a saying in our church. We hold people with an open hand. In our church, I learned this a long time ago, that people are in our church for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And I love that Jesus never manipulated. He said, come follow me, but he kind of kept walking. Come follow me. I just kept walking, and people followed him. Jesus never had to manipulate people. John 6, Jesus preaches one of the best messages, his vampire message. I love Jesus' Twilight vampire message. Hey, you want to follow me? You must eat my flesh and drink my blood, right? And what does Jesus do after he does that? He goes, hey! Everyone else is leaving me. Y'all want to leave me too? Jesus did not hold his disciples with a closed fist. yet some of us hold our people with a closed fist. Freely he gave, so freely we should receive and freely we should give. You know who I learned unbelievable from? And I really wish he was here, but he's not here. But his wife is here tonight, Sally. I want to honor your husband, Pastor David Storer, which, you know, because of him, we have about 320 Harvest Net churches in Western Australia. David Storer never sat me down and told me specifically things, but I just watched his life. I watched how he kicked out his worship pastor from his church, a little bit against his will, and then allowed him to stand on his pulpit, share the vision of his church, and take anyone he wanted from the church and get cash. And they started with 60 people, right? Yeah, I just want to make that clear, because Ken's like, yeah, we went and started from scratch. No, you didn't, Ken. You had 60.
You had 60 tithers. Y'all speaking in tongues on that first Sunday. Come on. Starting from scratch, give me a break.
Right? Then, what does Pastor David do? Well, that's not good enough. A couple years later, let's kick out the best kids pastor in the state and possibly the country. And now you can stand on my stage and tell everyone the vision of your church and take them all and take some cash. And now you can go to Pastor Ken and Pastor Christie's church, who they're still pretty new, but take as many people as you can, get as much money as you can, and go start. Now, evidently, you don't do that anymore that way, right? Yeah, that totally ruins the point of my story. But but I don't care what you do now. I caught the heart of this, right? So last year, remember, kindness releases. It's not your church. It's God's church. It's not your church. It's God's church. You're going to die one day, and people may forget you. It's not your church. So I had this young guy come, says, Pastor James, I want to start a church. I'm like, you do? Oh, okay. He's like, yeah, I really feel led to do it. I'm like, okay. All right, well, do you need help? He's like, he didn't even really want help. He didn't even want covering, right? So it wasn't even like this situation. It was a little bit different, but he's a nice young guy. And so I said, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll do this. And so 3 weeks later, I called him up in our 10 a.m. service. Our 10 a.m. service is the live-streamed one. So we have a couple thousand people watch every week. And so I deliberately did it there. And I brought him on stage. And I said to him, I said, privately, I said, okay, hey, if you're going to go, talk to anybody you want. You can share your vision with anyone you want. Just let me know, just out of courtesy, but you can talk to anyone you want, and that's fine. So he'd had a little team, so they came up on stage. And can I say, he had three guys on that team who I really liked. They were really good leaders in our church, but I don't own. Kindness is releasing. So he came up on stage, and in the Philippines, y'all got to understand as well, the Philippines, oh my gosh, we know how to do church politics in the Philippines. We know how to eat rice, we know how to box, and we know how to do church politics, right? Like, it is, we know how to do it. And so I brought them up on stage, and we prayed for them on stage. We prayed for them and talked about how great they were, put their church on their Instagram. They just created it. And then I turned to the church, and I looked online on the screen. I said, hey, listen, if any of you are sitting here in this church right now and you feel led, guys, this is just what Pastor David Storer did. I'm not a hero. I'm just copying what Pastor David Storer did because he's a kingdom man. And look at the fruit. And so I just, man, I want the same blessing that he had. God, give me that same blessing. So I said, if there's anyone here that you feel led, you just listen to this and you feel led in your spirit, like you want to go with them, why don't you go? Pray about it. And I said, and as well, we're going to give them money from our legacy offering. Well, can I tell you, I have not received such great feedback from the amount of older members of our congregation that came up to me, visibly shook. I can't believe you did. I've never seen that in church. I said, well, I have. I saw it in Pastor David's store. I mean, they don't do it anymore, but I saw it. Hey, if people, okay, let me talk into this. I'm running a little bit over time. Okay, I'm going to go quick. Hey, if people are leaving your church, let me talk about this for a second. Firstly, welcome to the club. How do you think? What, you think those people in your church right now magically just popped up there? We just go after non-Christians. We just reach non-saved, unchurched people. Yeah, but y'all secretly praying for some mature tithing Christians to walk into your church, right? Hey, don't fake it with me. Come on, we all been there. So, but hey, if people leave, you know what I love to do? You know what I love to do when people leave the church? Firstly, some of them just leave because it's great. We've had people leave massive churches that came to our little church, and they were one of 20,000 in that church, but they were a superstar in our church. And now, with the size of our church, people are leaving our church and going and helping other churches. Firstly, I think that's fantastic. Secondly, if someone leaves and has a go at me, my first reaction is to not create a propaganda channel to talk smack about that person. Well, they're not under submission. Well, they're just a Jezebel. They're an Ahab. Oh, Ahab. Right? Hey, y'all, some of us do this. You know what I actually like to do? I actually like to work out why they left. And even if 99.9% of it is absolute crap, sometimes they have a point. And there's been a lot of people that have left our church that have said some mean things, but some of the things they've said, even as they've said it mean, I've walked away and gone, Yeah, I get it. It might actually help you be a better pastor and have a better church if you listen rather than just throw people down, which leads me to my second last, which is this: kindness loves. You know what kindness does? Kindness preaches a sermon that God heals the sick. You know what else it does? It sits with the person that didn't get healed. And it loves them. I could spend all night talking about the love of Jesus. I love Jesus. Mercy to the woman caught in adultery. Compassion to the woman at the well. Healing the ear of the soldier that Peter cut off and got angry. Asking his father to forgive the very people that were murdering him. I feel like it's so easy for us to preach the love of Jesus, but it's kind of harder for us to live it. And I think that sometimes we pick and choose how we want to apply this. I just know the love of Jesus in my life. Man, I love Jesus. I think that sometimes the reason why we struggle with love sometimes is maybe even our perception of God, right? If we think that God is an angry judge, come on, courtroom judge, God's in there, and we all have a price that we can't pay, but luckily Jesus jumped in front of us and took the punishment from God. Fantastic, because we're Trinitarians. So God punished himself? No, God loved us so much. You want to know what the love of God is? The love of God is this. It's Jesus on a cross. That's the love of God. And he loves us so much that he bled and he died for us. We celebrated it today in communion. And he rose from the grave. He loves us. He loves me through all my mess. Man, today, the worship team earlier today was so beautiful. It was like the best of the 90s. It was unreal. But y'all don't know this because I'm sitting there, I'm worshiping. Oh, God's good, God's good. Then y'all start singing, your name is like honey on my lips. I just start weeping because even though I never really followed Jesus, I had some pretty big moments as a teenager with that song. And I'm sitting there today and you're worshiping and I'm going back in my mind to the 16-year-old that Jesus loved, even when I didn't really love him back, but had snippets of moments with him. And kindness loves, even when it's hard, kindness loves. Can I tell you, the last 3 months, God has just rocked me in my kindness for people. I've had people that I've dealt with in my heart. There was a pastor that I had an issue with, right? Isn't that, right? Anybody else? I love pastor's conference. We can be real. Pastor I had a pretty big issue with and just, you know, felt like they were condescending, whatever. Held on to it for years. God's been really challenging my heart. Don't you hate it when you preach on something and God deals with you? That's why it's taken me 3 years to preach this sermon. Because I'm like, God, I'm not ready. I'm still mean. Right? Even a couple months ago, God dealt my heart where I was talking with someone and this other person's name came up and we began to talk. And I asked a question, and they gave me an answer. And all of a sudden, God showed me a different picture of this person. And grace flooded my heart for this person. Did they hurt me? Yeah. Were they mean to me? Yeah, they were. But I saw, maybe they just have brokenness. Maybe they're broken. Maybe they need some love. And God just challenged my heart that I can't just get up and preach the love of Jesus and tell all of you guys to go love people. I have to love the people that hurt me. Oh, it's hard. Come on, someone agree with me. It's hard. But wow, do you know how much easier it is to sleep at night when you love people instead of hate them? I love it. All right, last one. Kindness is forgiven. Piano player, come. There you are. But don't play what you were playing with Pastor Sue. It annoyed her. It annoyed her, so I don't want to annoy her again, okay? She's had a hell of a 6 years. You're up the end. Ting, 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 ting. She's trying to minister. Ting, ting, ting. All right, this is the last one. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. I love old school church where we would just say Christian cliches to, you know, hallelujah, God's good, amen, all the time. All right, last point. There he is. Let's go. Kindness is forgiving. Kindness shows grace to people. Can I encourage you, never let church discipline hold a higher authority than God's grace. I get it. I'm not saying ignore the things. You got to deal with stuff. But correct people through the lens of grace and restoration. I've seen many leaders be corrected through the lens of punishment. And I found, kind of like what I just said before, I found like a lot of people correct through the lens of punishment when they have their theological framework of God is that he's a wrathful, angry God. But when you see how loving and kind God is, it actually changes your heart to look through a lens of grace and to forgive. Can I tell you, I'm not here because of my second chance. I'm here because of my 102nd chance. I've made so many mistakes in my journey, but luckily I had leaders that forgave me, that loved me, that walked me through the journey. I had one young guy who was a youth leader. He left our church and he wrote the most scathing email. Like it was just scathing. And like I kept it, I still have it. And it was scathing, it was very hurtful. He made false accusations, it was really tough. And he left the church. A year later, he walked back into church, right? And I remember he walked in. I could see as he walked in, I was in the foyer saying hi to people. And I could see as he walked in, instantly he looked at me. I looked at him, and I could see the shame and regret on his face, right? And as he walked in, I instantly just thought of the prodigal son. Because I'd actually used it because some people were like, are you going to go after him? I said, nah. He's made his decision. You know what I love about the story of the prodigal son? Is that the father never went after the son because the son knew the way home. Some people, you just need to pray. They know the way home and they'll get home eventually. Keep praying. He walked in, saw him, prodigal son sitting there. So you know what I did? I walked up to him. I'm like, hey, how dare you step foot in this church? Who do you think you are? Writing an email against a man of God, saying lies. Get out of here. Come on. You know what I did? I walked up to him and I gave him the biggest hug. And I, in his ear, I just said, I love you and I'm so glad you're here. Pulled away, tears coming down his face. Kindness forgives. We've all been hurt. Oh, stay around. If you haven't been hurt in church, what are you doing? You're a newbie. You're fresh off the boat, man. Just stick around. Someone's gonna hurt you. Someone's gonna say something bad. No, not at my church. Yes, at your church. It's gonna happen. And at that moment, you're gonna be faced. Are you gonna give the very thing that you've so freely received? That's kindness. That's it, I'm done. This is hard. But if we can get this, we don't have to live in a world where the ends justify the means and we have a whole bunch of dead bodies behind the bus because we've used a spirit of excellence as just a manipulative phrase for us to cover our insecurities and our pride. But really, hey, we're gonna show the kindness of Jesus. We're going to love people. We're going to love the outcast. We're going to love the marginalized. We're going to be clear in what we think, but we're going to love. We're going to forgive. We're going to love. We're going to be clear. We're going to have perspective. Oh, we're going to be consistent, and we're going to love. Amen? This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to end tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm preaching. And I'm going to be preaching faith. Like, I promise you, tomorrow night, I'm going to yell a lot on the microphone. We're going to worship. And people are going to walk out of here thinking that you can literally change the world tomorrow night. But tonight, I'm not going to do that. But this is what I want to do. We're going to do two things. Firstly, I want everyone to stand really quickly. And as I've been preaching, I'm going to pray that we're all kind. But to be honest, doesn't really matter right now. This message needs to be a seed that goes in you. So next Tuesday when you're faced with something, this comes up and goes, hey, are you going to be kind? So I'll pray for that. But this is actually what I really want to pray for. Is there anybody here that maybe tonight you're here and you've been hurt by an unkind leader? And it sucks. But you're still carrying a bit of hurt and pain. And you want to give that to God tonight. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. Is there anyone like that here tonight? Can you just lift your hands just so I can see who I'm praying for? Hands. Cool. All right, open your eyes. I'm going to do what we all hate to do. But this is what I'm going to do. If you've been hurt, I want you to walk out the front now. Dim the lights. Dim it a little bit more. If you just lifted your hands, and I saw every one of you that lifted your hands. Listen to me. God wants to heal you. God wants to do something special in your life. Just come. We're going to pray. I want some of our team. Can you just come? All our pastors, exec, just come and just lay hands and just begin to pray just the healing power of God over them right now. Hey, come on, can you help me for a moment? Can we just pray for these people? Come on, just begin to pray. You're in a healthy place, that's good, but some of these people have some residue. They got some barnacles under the boat that tonight need to be cleaned off. Maybe we could have some senior pastors come. We got some more people that aren't being prayed for right now. Come, yeah, just come and pray. Let healing flow tonight. Let healing flow. Let the wounds that are deep right now, God, I pray that you would come and you would begin to heal, begin to restore, begin to stitch up. Some of those painful words that have been spoken, they're like weeds in you tonight. I pray that they would be ripped out. That if you believe lies from dysfunctional people, you weren't good enough, you don't have the right call, God made a mistake with you. Come on, those are lies from the pit of hell. We affirm the truth tonight that God has called you. God has chosen you. You're still here. You're still alive. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. Let healing come. Let healing come, Jesus. Let healing come. Let's just worship for a little bit.